Welcome back. Well, despite worsening global and domestic economic headwinds, along with a sharp drop in coal prices, Exxaro still managed a 13% rise in headline earnings, and that's thanks to a boost from the group's equity investments. Company CEO Mxolisi Ngojo joins us now with his analysis of the numbers and where it positions the group for the growth moving forward. Thanks so much, Mxolisi, for joining us today. So you might have reported a 42% jump in profit for the full year, 13% rise in earnings as well, but it's really been your investments in your iron ore venture that's paid off, working to offset some of the decline you've seen in global coal prices. So give us a better sense of the pressure you are under right now.
Well, I think relatively speaking, you know, apart from the fact that we did have a lower offtake from Eskom, you know, which we had reported even in our interim results, being Medupi. By and large, if you look at on a half and half year period, we saw a recovery in the second half. But again, what is also important is that we had record exports to the tune of 1.1 million tons up on the previous year from 8 to 9.1 million tons.
And that's a 14% climb.
And that's a 14% climb. And so really, I think from what we are able to control, because that's always what's going to be very important. There are many other factors that you cannot, they're not in your control. Your coal prices, exchange rate, geopolitical issues, now it's coronavirus. So by and large, what we are saying is that that which we manage and which we control, we need to be on top of our game on that. And I think that's exactly what the business has done. Because even if you look on the cost side, the costs were pretty much attributable to the fact on a cost per rand per ton basis to the fact that Medupi didn't take the 2.2 million tons. Mm-hmm. So had that happened, you would have seen a much better outcome in terms of even of our rand per ton costs.
So for a minute then, let's take a look at, you know, the some of the control or the handle you do have on factors that are outside of your control. Because on the coal front, of course, a feature of the shifts we are seeing is with coal becoming really a dirtier and dirtier word by the day, and a supply wave of liquefied natural gas seeing prices fall 30% over the period. It's not going to be fleeting. So what's the plan when it comes to getting yourselves out of this dinosaur industry, if we can call it that?
Well, I mean, we were very clear in articulating our strategy in the sense that, you know, from a South African point of view, you know, we are all talking about this just transition. And we today even announced our climate change strategy and published our statement. And we recognize the fact that from a South African context, you know, you just cannot turn off coal overnight because the socioeconomic impact is just going to be devastating to the country. And by and large, a lot of the other European countries that have been on this transition, they've been on it for about 30 years. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Germany, who started this back in the 80s, and they're talking about the last coal power station only being switched off in 2038. So they recognize that this transition is a long one and sometimes has to be even subsidized by government. So we should not for 1 minute expect from a South African point of view that we can transition out of this thing overnight. So our plan is that we have come out today stating quite clearly that we are refocusing our strategy from what we originally looked at as three pillars in terms of where we're going to see our growth being around energy security, water security, and food security. We're saying that given where we are as a country in terms of the critical shortages of energy requirements and the fact that we had made an acquisition of the other 50% of our Synergy, which is our renewable energy business, which we've got all the conditions precedent have been met. We're going to close off the transaction at the end of the month. That gives us a platform to actually transition our business, you know, over time in terms of towards a zero carbon emission on the back of a resource, on the back of an industry that is going to be part of the solution around carbon abatement. And that's the renewable energy side. And we're going to be building our next core for business in that part of the area so that over time we will be able to offset and mitigate some of our scope 1 and scope 2 emissions.
So is that where bulk of your capex then gets directed, because your expansion capex for 5 years to 2023 is now expected to fall by 1%. So how are you revising your capital allocation strategy given the refocus that you've brought to the business?
And that's precisely the reason why when we talked about our early coal value strategy, it was about, first of all, ensuring that we don't have stranded coal assets in the future, which are high quality coals. So we're trying to find a quick way to really monetize that value much earlier by generating increased higher cash flows, so that we don't actually start looking at our balance sheet and raising more debt in so far as actually funding our growth. So we're going to be funding primarily our growth through being able to continue passing our SIOC dividend to the shareholders as a pass-through, but also being able now to generate more cash out of our business. We've given an indication, for instance, that this year, we're looking, for instance, to increase our exports from 9.1 million tons to 11 million tons. So with that, we're going to be starting to say, how do we start deploying this cash in a very prudent manner in terms of how we enter the energy business? Given the fact that we had made a call that the type of returns we would like to see in renewables are going to be at least at a minimum 15% return. So it's also going to be very important to actually be able not to just simply jump into it. There are many opportunities that are out there that we can actually acquire very, very quickly, but they don't just quite give us the type of returns that we are looking for.
Okay. In the interim, and while you get the wheels in motion on that front, as you highlighted, South Africa remaining a primarily coal fueled energy region for at least the next decade does buy you some time. So let's talk around that sustenance, because that sustenance reliant on Eskom's financial viability at the end of the day. Are you confident that that's a ship that can be turned around?
Well, we are really confident in the sense that the signs we've seen thus far, and with the support of the government, they've already given indications of the amount of money that they're going to be put into Eskom. We have seen also the CEO being very frank with us, being transparent with us, putting a program in place, and telling us that for the next coming 2 to 3 years, we're going to be in this situation until they have fixed Eskom. But I think what's going to be very important is that in the new restructuring of Eskom as an entity, breaking it up into three components, that's going to have to happen much quicker, because in there lies the opportunity now, as has been highlighted, not only in the 2019 IRP, but also the government saying that they are wanting to open up the industry in such a manner that there can be also even competition for the generations part of Eskom.
You sound very hopeful, Malisi, but still you highlight in your release today that you're cautiously optimistic in the global economic conditions. You're less positive when it comes to domestic conditions. So you do have some concern, nervousness, worry that's certainly top of mind at this stage.
Well, I think everybody is concerned right now. For instance, who was expecting Corona was going to happen? Mm-hmm. There are just too many variables that you have to play with. For ours is to say, as a country, we need to start really driving the reforms that are required to actually ensure that we can stimulate the economy, and actually as business, and is how we actually lend a hand and play a critical role like we did with the business unity initiative at the beginning of the year, which actually by that initiative actually got even the president and the government to start now opening up the industry by allowing self-generation of energies. Those are some of the things that have been happening which are very positive. And so if that can happen and we can liberalize and we can actually come in and close in the gap of Eskom with private sector generation, that can also alleviate the crisis.
Let's leave it there. Malisi, thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Malisi Mgojo is CEO of Exxaro.